the sky at night and look at the stars. You ever like to do that? I love to look at the stars at night. And we're told on a clear night when the moon is not shining, you know how many stars should be visible? About 3,000 stars should be visible during a clear night when the moon is not shining. I don't know about that, but someone has calculated that if every person had the number of stars in this universe, each person would have about 7 trillion stars. That's a lot of stars, isn't it? I mean, I don't know if you've studied or thought about how many stars there are, but speaking of light, and Jesus said very clearly, I am the light of the world. The Lord put this message in my heart to share with you today, a message entitled, Follow the Right Light. Follow the right light, the bright and morning star. Speaking of lights, a few years ago, I had the privilege of putting up some Christmas lights. How many of you put up some Christmas lights lately? Someone as well said that you could tell a lot about a man by the way he untangles Christmas tree lights when they're all tangled up. You've probably done it too, hadn't you? Felt like throwing it away? Anyway, a few years ago, I put up some Christmas lights at our home. I climbed up on the top of the roof like Spider-Man, hanging over the side of the roof, risking my life, I might add, and then delicately placing those Christmas lights all on the roof of the house. It took several hours to do it. I woke up the next morning only to discover all the Christmas lights had been pulled down. I looked in the backyard, and our dog at the time was named Buck. He had jerked the extension cord out of the receptacle, chewed up the extension cord, and jerked the lights down, and was wagging his tail. I could have choked his neck, needless to say. Anyway, I ended up putting them back up nonetheless. Somebody said, man, best friend is a dog. I don't know about that. We've got two, and I've said it before and say it again. If you don't believe man's best friend is a dog, you go lock your wife and your dog in the trunk of your car, go back an hour later and see who's happy to see you if you unlock the trunk. It ain't going to be mama. It ain't going to be mama, I'll assure you. Follow the light. Do you realize in the book of Job, chapter 38 and verse 31 and 32, we're not going to look at that this morning, but God talks about a light. He says to Job, in the midst of his calamities and his troubles and trials, God said to Job, he said, can you bind the sweet influences of Pleiades? Let's say that name together. Pleiades. Say it with me. Pleiades. How many have ever read that in the Bible? How many know what Pleiades is in the Bible? You're going to learn something brand new today. You know what Pleiades is? It's a constellation. And then you know what God said to Job? God said to Job, not only who can bind the sweet influences of Pleiades. Listen to me. Pleiades is a collection cluster of stars. It's like birds that are swarming together, flying together. God said to Job, can you make these stars fly together without one going here and one going there? Then God said to Job, he said, can you not only bind the sweet influences of Pleiades, but can you loose the bond of Orion? Have you ever heard of Orion? Any of you ever heard of Orion? I'm talking about some stars in the Bible. Did you know the Bible, thousands of years ago, Job is believed to be one of the oldest books in the Bible, God told Job and us today about these two just constellations, Orion and Pleiades. And guess what? 20th century man's just discovering of these wonderful, magnificent stars. Do you know that the Bible teaches that Jesus has named and numbered all the stars? That's Psalm 147 and verse 4. Would you pick up, I don't know if we'd be able to pick up the picture. I found a picture about the constellations. It's on the PDF file, and it has to do with the stars. I don't know if you'll be able to magnify that or not, but this is the best I could do for the time that I had to work on this. Right over here. Can you bring this up right here? This is Pleiades right here. See that? Can you see that? If we're looking out in outer space, here's that cluster of stars. And then, if you'll notice, as I said, they're like birds flying together. Now, if you would minimize it, and you'll see the other Orion right over Let's see, I need my glasses, amen. I can't hardly see. Here it is right here. See if you can magnify that. That's Orion. Look at these different stars. Magnify it as big as you can. Orion right there. Do you notice the trend, how these are connected? This star right here is called Big Red. This star right here is Regal or Blue. If I'm not mistaken, these stars, do you realize how big these stars are? You can't tell and I can't tell, although you can see this. Orion in the sky. Orion. Let's say it together. Orion. And, by the way, these two stars, one of them, this one here, I believe it is, the blue and the red, is 17 times larger than the sun. One of them is 950 times larger than the sun. And God said to Job, he said in Job 38, can you bind the sweet influences of Pleiades? Can you loose the bonds of Orion? And then he said, can you guide Arcturus? Have you ever heard of Arcturus? These are Bible stars. Did you know that? Arcturus. Let's say that name together. Arcturus. Say it again. Arcturus. The big dipper. You know, the bear and the suns. Oh, listen. God has a lot to say in his word. And another message will deal with some of these stars. But I want to share with you for a moment. Follow the right light. There was a star on that night in Bethlehem. If you could bring up the picture of that number one, please. The star of Bethlehem. What was that star? What exactly was that star? Some say it could have been a comet. Others say, no, it was probably planets that came together. Others say, no, it was probably a supernova. That is, an explosion in outer space. However, there is no record of an explosion that took place such as a supernova during that time. The best explanation is this. It was a supernatural miracle of God. God placed a star in the heaven to give some guidance to those men who were Persian, the wise men, as we call them. They were priests, by the way, and they saw the star from traveling eastward, and they saw it. If God made the heaven and the earth, surely he can make a star. I want you to take your Bibles and turn, please, to the book of Matthew, chapter 2. Matthew, chapter 2. And Matthew 2, this is a very familiar passage, as we look for a little while on the subject of follow the right light. Not any light, but the right light. And in the book of Matthew chapter 2, as you turn into Matthew 2, you will note in your notes Revelation 22:16. In Revelation 22:16, Jesus is called the bright and morning star. In fact, the Lord made it very clear in John 8:12. He said, I am the light of the world. The Bible teaches in the book of 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, God is light. And in him there's no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of the world. The light shineth in the darkness, but the darkness comprehended it not. In John chapter 3, verse 17 through 19, Jesus made it very clear. He said, God sent not his Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believes on him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. Remember in John, Matthew chapter number 5 and verse 14 following, Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. Let's say that together. Ye are the light of the world. Say it one more time. Ye are the light of the world. He said, a city set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it in a bushel, but on a candlestick, so that giveth light into all the house to see. Let your light so shine before men, they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Follow the right light. I got a feeling there's a lot of people today that are following the wrong light. Are you following the right light? Follow the right light. Follow the right light. Here's where we're going. Three ways to tell if you're following the right light. Here is the outline God gave me to share with you today. Three ways to tell if you're following the right light. Number one, when we follow the right light, it will take us through the dark night. Number one, when we follow the right light, it will take us through the dark night. Number two, when we follow the right light, it will take us to the right sight. S-I-G-H-T, the right sight. Not only will it take us through the dark night if you follow the right light, but it'll take us to the right sight. Number three, if we and when we follow the right light, not any old light, mind you, but the right light, it will take us not only through the dark night and to the right sight, but number three, until the final fight. I'm looking at the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2. Now, if you didn't get all those down, don't worry. We'll come back to each one of them, and you'll get them down, all right? Let's go back to Matthew, chapter 2. If you're there, say amen. In Matthew, chapter 2, Matthew records, by the way, the Gospel of Matthew is one of the oldest in the New Testament document evidences and manuscripts that are available. It's at the Magdalene and others. You can study that. Matthew, chapter 2, verse 1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, we spent a whole time talking about what Bethlehem that was. By the way, Brother Ken, that question about going up to Bethlehem instead of down, it was in relation to elevation rather than up as in north rather than south. Very good question. And when, look at verse 1 of chapter 2. And when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king. Now notice Herod was a king. Why? Because the Romans had appointed him king. He was king of the Jews. And you see, at that time, there were the Persians were a dominant empire, as well as the Romans were a dominant empire. Now, you need to understand the background of what we're fixing to read. It'll sure let you know why Herod was afraid and why Herod was threatened. There was the empire of the Persians, which these wise men came from the east, from the Persian Empire. And then there was the Roman Empire, the dominant empire at that time. However, Herod had been appointed by the Roman Empire as king. No wonder he was threatened. No wonder he was a little startled when they said, "We've come to see the king of the Jews." Why, he was the only king he knew. Now, having that in the background, look at chapter 2 and verse 1. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men. These wise men were told were probably priests. And not only were they religious, and whether they were believers or not is questionable. Anyway, the wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that was born of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east." May God bless the reading of his word to our heart today. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen and amen and amen. Father, thank you for the word of God. It's life. It has power. Lord, I know you've got a word for us today. I thank you. Your word is forever true. And Lord, I bless you today. You've, the Lord, included us in a part of your purpose and your plan here on earth. And I pray, precious Lord, that you'll help us to follow the right light. I bless you for your precious blood. I thank you for saving my lost soul. I thank you, Jesus, you not only came to be born, but you were born to die. You were born to die for my sins and the sins of the whole world. And I bless you, Jesus, you're coming again one day. You came up out of the grave, and you are indeed going to return one day, not as the King of the Jews only, but the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I say, even so come, Lord Jesus. Bless us today with your presence and power. Bless us today with your anointing. Oh, Father God, give us eyes to see everything you want us to see today. Hearts to believe you. Your promises have been true down through the years, down through the centuries, down to the corridors of history, our God, and your word is going to stay true until you fulfill it, every jot and every tittle. And we bless you today because you're a living God, and worship you and give you glory. What you're going to do in every heart, change us, dear Lord, and we'll be changed. I pray there'll be a birthing of spiritual babies this morning. Lord, it was a privilege to see so many physical babies born this week, but now, Lord, we're here asking for the cries of newborn babies that desire the sincere milk of the word thereby that we might grow. I love you, Lord, and bless you and ask you for the fresh cleansing and a fresh anointing. And when all said and done, we'll say to you be glory. Great things are that you are have done and will do. Thank you for every person here. Oh, blessed God, we just turn our eyes on you now and thank you for victory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Number one, the first way we can tell we're following the right light. By the way, wise men still follow Jesus. Number two, please. Wise men still follow Jesus. Yes, they still do. Wise men still follow his star. The first way you can tell that we are following the right light is, number one, it will guide us through the dark night. Is there anybody here going through a dark night? Last night I could not sleep. I tossed and turned practically all night long. I could not wait to get to church. The message was running in my heart. The needs were running on my soul. And I thought, oh God, thank you. The night might be long and the night might be dark. And the night might be cold, but God said to Job, he would give us a song of the night. Is there anybody here that God's given you a song in the night? Is there anybody here that says, oh God, when I wake up in the wee hours of the morning, I thank you that you'll give me a song in my mouth. You'll let me know that you're going to be with me. Remember, Job 35:10, he'll give us a song in the night. Remember, weeping men endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Psalm chapter 30 and verse number 5. Is there anybody here going through a dark night? Is there anybody here going through a time when you say, oh God, I can't see my way. I need the light to shine the path. Hey, you can't deny the fact, America, how dark is it in America? Is it dark? Somebody talk to me. Am I preaching myself or the choir today or what? Is it dark in America? You better believe it's dark in America. I thank God for our nation. But wait a minute, it's dark in America. Why do I know that? Why do I say that? We're called to be soldiers. Paul said, endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. That's right. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that it may please him who had called him to be a soldier. I know the night is dark, but wait a minute. The darker the night, the brighter the light. I said the darker the night, the brighter the light. You see, we are to take up the whole armor of God. Well, how dark is it, Brother Pastor? It's a dark day in America. I realize that. By the way, did you know, according to historians, every nation that's been a world superpower has ultimately failed, wait a minute, listen to me, has failed or fallen in the first 250 years of origin. Do you hear me? 250 years. Well, question prompts us, how old is America? Does anybody know how old America is? The best I can calculate, America is, guess how old? I think, if I'm not mistaken, this coming July the 4th, I believe America, 1776, if that's the right date, I'm not sure. Is it right? Somebody help me out. 239 years. Did I miss it? I'm just going by mathematics. 239 years. Really? Wow. Why is that interesting? Why is that significant? Because if the history tells us that every other world dominant power has fallen within the within 200 to 250 years, America's at 239. You say it can't happen. Don't bet it can't happen. Can y'all hear me? Don't think it can't happen. I am thankful to God for our country. I thank God for our men and women serving in the military. But wait a minute. Did you hear about Mikhail Gorbachev? Anybody know Gorbachev, who I'm talking about? He was the leader of Russia some years ago. Do you know what he said this last week? He said this, whether you give any credence to it or not, here's what he said. He said that if our president, Barack Obama, and Vladimir Putin, being the president of Russia, if they don't defrost their differences, we are no doubt headed for a Cold War. I mean, that's what he said. Well, is there any validity to it? Well, take this. in just last week now, King Hussein, who is the king of Jordan, made his way over, my understanding, to Washington, to the White House, and here's what he said. He said, we are now in World War III, with ICE doing all that they're doing in Syria, Iraq, and Turkey and all the places over in the Middle East. He said, we're in World War III. Don't think that it can't happen. We're in a dark night. But the darker the night, the brighter the light. Hey, you know, it's not just Washington that things are going on. Somebody sent me a letter this week. Kevin, I bet you know about this. Hey, did you know? And I want to show it to you. I've got it on the screen. Bring up that letter. I'm not sure if it's number 3, I believe. Bring up this letter. It was written by the mayor of Atlanta, Georgia. I don't know if you can see this or not, but you're going to have to magnify that where we can see it. This letter I was sent to me. The chief of Atlanta firefighter. Did you hear about it, Kevin? Look at this. Bring that up just again, please. And if you can, leave it there. There you go. Dear Pastor, Atlanta Fire Chief Kelvin Cochran. Do you know Kelvin? I wonder if anybody knew Kelvin. Listen to this. Atlanta Fire Chief Kelvin Cochran is a godly man and a member of Elizabeth Baptist Church of Atlanta, one of our Georgia Baptist churches. Chief Cochran wrote a book last year entitled, Who Told You That You Were Naked? The book deals with sin and redemption through Jesus Christ and addresses homosexual behavior, among other sins enumerated in Scripture. Atlanta Mayor Kasmin Reed chose Facebook to publicly release this statement. Now look what he said, the mayor of Atlanta. I profoundly disagree with him with and am deeply disturbed by the sentiments expressed in the paperback regarding lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender community. I will not tolerate discrimination of any kind within my administration. We are conducting a thorough review of the facts surrounding the book and its distribution. In the interim, I have directed that the following steps be taken. Chief Cochran, listen to this. Chief Cochran will be suspended for 1 month without pay. 1 month without pay. Chief Cochran will be required to complete sensitivity training. Chief Cochran will be prohibited from distributing the book on city property. And Deputy Chief Joel G. Baker will serve as acting fire chief in Chief Cochran's absence. I want to be clear, said the mayor. I want to be clear that the material in Chief Cochran's book is not representative of my personal beliefs and is inconsistent with the administration's work to make Atlanta a more welcoming city for all of her citizens, regardless of their sexual orientation, gender, race, and religious beliefs. What do you think about that? I said, what do you think about that? The mayor of Atlanta has suspended the chief of Atlanta without pay for 1 month. Well, what do you think we ought to do? Sit back and just say, oh, I'm just sorry. Too bad. I don't think so. I think we ought to write him a note, don't you? I think we ought to call him on the phone, don't you? I can't hear you. Where are the soldiers? Where are the blood-bought soldiers of the cross? Where are the men and women that are whining, complaining about what's going on in America, and then something like this happens, and we just sit back on our blessed assurance? I tell you what I think. I think we as a church ought to send it to the mayor and say, look, mayor, we respect your beliefs, but we're not going to bow down. We're not going to bend. We're not going to cow down to politically correct politics. We don't care if it hair-lips the Pope. Amen. I said it. Well, we don't care if it hair-lips the Pope. Somebody say amen. I just wonder if y'all are awake. Amen. Are y'all with me? What do you think about this? Well, I'm telling you, it's a dark day in America. It's a dark night, but the darker the night, the brighter the light. You know, sometimes we can be following the wrong light. Are you following the wrong light? There's a lot of people out there that'll tell you, they'll say, well, you need to follow this light. You need to come here and follow this light. No, that's not the right light. It reminds me, by the way, of that little boy that was in the mall. Have you been shopping this year? Man, it's a rat race. It's a madhouse. You better hold on or you get run over. Anyway, one little boy was in the mall. He was crying vehemently. He was bawling his eyes out. And he was saying, where is my mama? Where is my mama? Everybody was walking by him. They were walking by him, grabbing a dollar in their pocket, throwing a dollar at him. There were dollar bills stacked up all around them. Where is my mama? A man reached over to him and said, son, I know where your mama's at. The little boy scratched his head and said, I do too. Shh, be quiet. Sometimes we can be wrong. Oh, yes, we can. But we are to be salt and light. Follow the right light. Not any light, but the right light. And guess what it'll do? It'll take you through the dark night. I love the account of that little boy that was standing outside the store. He was shivering cold. It was a cold December day. He was looking, peering into the window. He didn't have a coat on. He had a short sleeve shirt on, Brother Ralph. Anyway, he didn't have a coat on, and a lady saw him shivering. He was just cold as he could be. And the lady went into the store. She bought him a coat, came back out, put it on him, and said, "Here, son, doesn't that make you feel better?" He looked up at her and said, "Are you God's wife? Are you God's wife?" I'll tell you what, I don't know about all that, but I know this. God is watching and God is paying attention when we are light in this time of the year. Number one, follow the right light. That is the bright and morning star. But the second way you can tell if you're following the bright light is not only through carrying you to the dark night. Number two, it will lead you to the right sight. By the way, that bright light we're talking about, that dark night we're talking about, these men traveled quite a distance. And again, they were traveling with intent to see the King of the Jews. Well, how in the world they know that? I suppose, I'm not absolutely certain, but it has been said they probably had read the Old Testament. They had been steeped in all kinds of religious beliefs and probably had seen some of the prophetic passages. We looked at them just a couple of weeks ago in regards to Micah chapter 5. And it could be that they had obviously knew and they studied the stars, as some say, and thus they saw this phenomenon, this supernatural miracle light in the sky. Oh, that God placed as a sign. Well, number two, follow the right light. It'll take you not only to a dark night, but number two, it'll take you to the right sight. Look at verse 9 and 10 of Matthew chapter 2. Look at verse 9 and 10 of Matthew chapter 2. And here the word of God records these words. And when they had heard the king, they departed. That is, these wise men. You know, Herod was threatened. He wanted to kill all the babies. He wanted to be king of the Jews, so he didn't want them to know about it. He was trying to get rid of them, basically. But verse 9 says, and when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, that same star, which they saw in the east, went before them. I'm glad that God can guide us, aren't you? Till it came and stood over where the young child was. Notice young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding joy. Many believe that Jesus was not the little baby, firstborn infant, as we sometimes portray in our nativity scenes, rather he was a little older at the time. Fact is, it don't really matter to me. The point is that they found the right site. They found the right place. How did they know the right place to go to? I just believe it was a place of celebration. It was not only a celebration, it was a place of destination. They found, and the Bible says they rejoiced. They had celebrated all this journey, this long journey to find out about this King of the Jews. Can I tell you what? That Jesus, even though he's mentioned as King of the Jews, in this passage, the Jews, by and large, rejected him and his kingdom. And therefore, his kingdom will come literally, physically, in the millennial reign. It has not come as such, literally, physically, yet. And I know there's debate about that today, but if you look at the scripture and read it from the perspective of God speaking to, at this time, the Jewish people, the church had not been born until, remember, the book of Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. And it's clear, and I don't have time to go all the scriptures. I'll be glad to talk with you about it. But he came to them, Acts chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. Look it up. You'll see what I'm talking about. He said, it's not time for you to know the kingdom. It's in the Father's hand. That's after he'd been resurrected, when the Jews came and asked him, when will you restore the kingdom to Jerusalem? Look it up and check it out. Anyway, here's the deal. Jesus will come as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in the future time. Now, if you're one of those that interpret the church fulfilling the Israeli covenants, Abraham and Davidic and such, then maybe you can squeeze it in your theology to say, well, his kingdom has already come. Now, I realize there is a universal kingdom that has come, according to Psalm chapter 145 and verse 13. But really, his physical, literal kingdom has not showed until he will come and rule on his throne forever and ever and ever. That is what he said in the book of Luke chapter 1. Remember when he said, his kingdom there shall be no end. But wait a minute, I've got to go back to what we're talking about. How do we know this is his star? How do we know it's the right sight? Can I tell you something? Jesus said, I'm the bright and morning star. Well, how do I know that? Because as the bright and morning star, he is a peace giver. Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, Josh, neither let it be afraid. He's not only a peace giver, but he's also a mountain mover. He says, if you have faith of a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, and cast to the depths of the sea. He's not only a peace giver and a mountain mover, he's a giant killer. Anybody know him being as a giant killer? Remember what David said when he faced that 9 feet 9 inch giant. He said, you come to me with a sword, or at least a sword and a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. And he defeated the giant. I'm telling you, the bright and morning star found in Revelation 22 and 16. He's not only a giant killer and a mountain mover and a peace giver. He is a devil defier. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 8 says this. This is the purpose the Son of God was made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That means undo the works of the devil. He's a devil defier. He's a grave robber. The bright and morning star. Are you following the bright and morning star? He went down in the grave. In fact, he said this, destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it up again. He said, as Jonah was in the heart of the belly of the fish, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. But on the third day, on the resurrection morning, that first day of the week, that's why we celebrate it today. He came up out of the grave with the keys to death and hell. He's a grave robber. In fact, John, exiled on the Isle of Patmos, over in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18 said, behold, I was dead, but I'm alive forevermore, and hold the keys to death and hell. The bright and morning star. Are you following that bright and morning star today? Are you following that bright and morning star today? I'll tell you what else he is. He's a world changer. That's right, he's a world changer. He said in John chapter 16 and verse 33, in the world you should have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. I'm glad, hallelujah, he has overcome the world, and he gives us the victory through him. I'll tell you what else he is. That bright and morning star is the bridegroom cometh. He's a bridegroom comer. That is, get yourself ready. Behold, the bridegroom's coming. The bridegroom's coming. In fact, we read in John chapter 14, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. The bridegroom's coming. Are you ready for the bridegroom? The body of Christ is the bride of Christ, according to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify with the washing of water by the word. Revelation 19, the bride has made herself ready. Oh, the marriage supper of the Lamb. He's the bridegroom that cometh. I'll tell you what else he is. That bright and morning star. Do you know him today? Are you following him today? I'll tell you what else he is. Oh, he's a keeper lover. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want you to know the bright and morning star. He's a sin forgiver. Can anybody relate? Can anybody say hallelujah? My sins have been forgiven. Over there in Luke chapter 7. There's a woman. She wets Jesus' feet with her tears. She washes his feet with her hair. And Jesus says, woman, thy sins, which are many, are forgiven. Isn't that sweet music? I said, isn't that sweet music? Isn't that some of the most beautiful words in all the Bible? Thy sins, your sins, which are many, are forgiven. Oh, yes. Mary had a little lamb. She's sweet. Fleece as white as snow. Mary! Jesus, the Ancient of Days, became the Infinite Days. The Son of God became the Son of Man, that the sons of men might become the sons of God. I'll tell you what else he is. He's a body healer. Is there anybody here can testify? He's healed my body. I've been sick. I couldn't get up out of the bed. I needed surgery, but God healed me. Remember over there in the book of Luke, rather book of John, chapter 5. It was a paralytic man, 38 years, had been laying at the pool of Bethesda. And Jesus said, "Man, take up your bed and walk." Remember in Luke chapter 13, that was a woman bent over the curvature of the spine. How long? 18 years. Jesus put his hands on her. If he ever puts his hands on you, oh, he put his hands on her and said, "Woman, thou art loosed." He's a body healer. Over there in John chapter 9, a man was born blind at birth. It wasn't his sin or his parents' sin, but for the glory of God. Jesus put clay and spit on his eyes, told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. I like what that blind man said. He said, "All I know is once I was lost, but now I can see." Isn't that what it was with you when Jesus snatched your lost soul out of a fiery hell and brought you into heaven? Oh, I'm telling you, he's the bright and morning star. That's not all. He's a dead raiser. I want you to know he never preached a funeral service. He got over there in Lazarus' grave in John chapter 11. He said, "Remove the stone." He said, "Loose him and let him go." And Lazarus came forth bound hand and foot. He's a dead raiser. Remember in Mark chapter 4, there's a little old girl that's lost her life, Jairus' daughter. And Jesus said, "Get up, little girl." And she had to get up. In Luke chapter 7, there's a man who's died. It just so happened it was the widow of Nain's son. And Jesus touched that coffin, and that man had to get up. He is a dead raiser. Oh, glory be to his name. I'll tell you what else he is. He is a rock builder. Can you hear me? I said he's a rock builder. What do you mean, brother pastor? He's the bright and morning star. What do you mean? Remember Peter, his name was Cephas. His name was Simon. And Jesus said, "Simon, I'm going to change your name. It's not going to be Simon anymore. It's going to be Peter." Petros, a rock. From the sandman to the rock man. Aren't you glad that God's in the life-changing business? Oh, yes, he is. He's a rock builder. He's a life changer. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Follow the bright morning star. Well, what else is he? I'll tell you what he is. He's the spirit giver. He said, "I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send my spirit. He'll be with you, in you, and upon you. He'll guide you into all truth." Aren't you glad we're not alone? Aren't you glad we're not alone? Aren't you glad you're not alone? Emmanuel, Emmanuel, God with us. Oh, bless his holy name. He's a heaven taker. I'll tell you what else he is. He's a people lover. I'll tell you what else he is. He's a missionary sender. Jesus said in John chapter 20 and verse 19 following, he said, "As the Father sent me, so send I you." Are you following the bright morning star? I'm talking about my Jesus today. Oh, listen. Follow the right light. It'll take you to the dark night. Follow the right light. It will take you to the right sight. Finally, follow the right light. It will carry you to the final fight. Listen, beloved, do you realize there are five times as much Bible prophetic passages of Scripture in regards to Jesus' second coming in comparison to his first coming? Did you hear me? Five times. What in the world is God telling us today? I'll tell you what he's telling us. Follow the light. Follow the right light. Bottom line is this, beloved. He kept his promises in the beginning. We read the book of Micah. We could read the book of Isaiah 7:14. Virgin will bring forth a child. We can read other passages we looked at a few weeks ago. He kept his promises. How many believe he's going to keep his promises today? Amen. Let's stand together.